Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming to my talk. This is a paper that we recently had published, so we're pretty excited about this product. So I'm going to just be kind of presenting from this paper. Some of the figures are pretty complicated, so you're going to probably want to reference the paper and go back to that, because I'm not going to cover all of the nuances of some of these figures. We're talking about hairy vetch biomass, and the economic component of this is trying to dial down and reduce seeding rates. As we know, cover crop seed are expensive, particularly legumes. So there's all sorts of management factors that drive cover crop performance. And as we improve our thinking around management, we improve the performance of the cover crop. So all of these factors are central to optimizing that performance. And when we think of performance, you know, performance is really biomass quality and quantity. I mean, that biomass is the ultimate correlative to all of these agroecosystem services we're targeting. There might be a few antagonistic effects of biomass levels, but by and large, most services are correlated strongly to performance, and biomass is quality and quantity, and I couldn't be happier going after Julia's presentation because she really dialed into this concept of quality, moving beyond just CN ratios. So we have these intrinsic factors, right, that affect the performance of a cover crop. So climate and soil affect our potential. So any climate-soil combination is going to affect that potential to perform. And then management has an effect on the degree in which we achieve that potential. Obviously, there is some optimal management out there that gets us to that potential, but a lot of us are not using that optimal management, particularly in the case of growers, right? So we try to understand how management drives cover crop performance. And this is just a bunch of different projects that we have going on. Some these three, for example, are all on different mixtures and monocultures of grasses and legumes. We looked at biomass, decomposition, kinetics of cover crops, greenhouse gas flux. This is some new work that we're doing on water infiltration. But all of this is really expensive place-based studies, right? Particularly these three. These are a lot of investment in time and labor to get this kind of data sets. And to be able to define these functional relationships, which is so important with cover crops. It's a big difference when we're looking at just how treatment A, B, and C differ when we're defining the functional relationships of how cover crops perform across these different factors that I was talking about. So this is expensive to do this kind of science, and that's why it's so valuable, I keep using my pointer here, to do these kind of multi-site studies where at any one individual location, you're not doing a lot of work. It's not breaking the bank at your individual site, but when we start to do something across these latitudinal gradients, for example, some really interesting relationships come out. And helps us understand, not just the nuance at our individual location, but how climate and soils, again, interact. So we all know hairy vetch. The room is not completely empty, so not everybody hates hairy vetch. But we do know that this is a controversial cover crop for growers. And so it does often, lose some interest by folks, but it is really, hands down, one of our best producers, right? It has the most potential for winter hardiness. It maximizes biomass really well, and no other species does like what hairy vetch does when grown in mixture because of its vining capabilities. So it works really well in these grass legume mixtures, and we all know a lot of the benefits of having grasses and legumes together. So this really boring slide, let's get through it really quickly here. Methodology, so randomized complete block design, 4 replicates, that's our plot size. Everybody uses the same cultivar except this rogue collaborator in North Carolina. We have planting dates where we chose kind of an optimal planting date, and then we have this late planting date, so just to kind of capture what's going on with growers. And then we have a lot of seeding rates. It varied some 5 to 7 seeding rates, but ranged between 0 to 50 kilograms per hectare. And that's what's so cool about these kinds of studies. Not everybody is perfectly on the same page or has the same capacity from year to year. But when you do studies like this across all these sites and you're collecting this much data sets, if something falls off the map, it's not such a big deal. It doesn't hurt the study. If a graduate student loses, a whole treatment in a 2-year study, that's vastly different than when you have these kinds of data sets coming in across these sites. So here I'm just presenting on the biomass data. We took half meter square quadrats, and we did this at 3 timings to reflect what different growers might be experiencing in the landscape, right? So those who have to kill it early, get it out of that field at the vegetative stage or later vegetative, all the way up to maximum biomass at that flowering stage. This is the model that we use to fit to this data set. And I just want to cue you into the asymptote. So that's just defining biomass potential. How much is the total biomass achieved based on that model? And the LRC value is this rate constant. That's the rate in which we achieve that asymptote. So how fast we get to that maximum biomass level. And I'm not going to go into all of this stuff. It's in the paper. I just want to cue you into this annual temperatures. You know, you can see we have a nice gradient. You know, Chris down in North Carolina chose to do less individual treatments at one location and do multiple sites, and that helps create even more gradients. But you can see we're all fairly common precipitation. And here's more about the planting dates and termination dates. That's all in the paper. So what I think is really interesting is just look at this range of data set here, okay? This is just all of the planting dates, the seeding rates, the termination dates, all of that information compiled. North Carolina didn't do that much in the on the later terminations. They just did the optimal biomass or the late biomass. So that's why you don't see as much data down here. But the main point here is you look at these northern latitudes, and they're not only their range, but their overall potential is just so much lower compared to, look at Maryland, that really can span a spectrum of biomass. And I assume that North Carolina would achieve that if they had all those intermediate and earlier kill dates as well. And this just gives you a sense of what that plant available nitrogen is, right? Based on the different levels of biomass, this is the kinds of nitrogen you kind of expect from that biomass. So this is a challenging figure to go through. I'm only going to carve out little slices of it, but let's just walk through this together. On our x-axis, you have the seeding rate. Then we have seeding date. So this was the planting date in the fall. So solid line is optimal planting, and the dashed line is a late planting. And then here's our different termination dates, so early, intermediate, and all the way late at flowering. So black is really kind of your optimal biomass. You can see North Carolina only harvested at that date, but you can see that look at how striking this is. That in Maryland and North Carolina, I mean, this kind of blew my mind, quite honestly. We've been planting 20 to 30 pounds per acre of hairy vetch seed for forever now, up and down the East Coast. We're producing maximum biomass in Maryland and North Carolina at 5 to 10 pounds per acre of hairy vetch seed. That's just astronomically lower than what most of us are doing. And so just there alone, these kinds of studies inform the economics of cover crops and their management. Other things I think are interesting, obviously, is just the sheer biomass potential is just much lower, obviously, in these higher latitudes. There is some interesting compensatory effects that happen at some of the intermediate sites. Like if you could see here, for example, this optimal planting date and late kill was really high, but if you had a late planting, it ends up producing the same amount of biomass as this intermediate kill date. So that gives you some flexibility with management timing. There's a lot going on in this slide. I'm not going to talk about all these little nuances. But when we take the coefficients from all those models, and we had 77 models that we fit, 77 treatment factor levels in all of this, and 82% of them were highly significant for the asymptote and 75% for the LRC. And what relationship stood out was that there was a strong relationship between heat units, so GDD, and our asymptote. So very clearly that more heat units creates more biomass. And remember, those heat units are a combination of planting date and termination date, but it's also a combination of your latitude. So all of that is interacting into that figure right there. And then we had a strong, significant relationship between the LRC and the latitude. So that is not surprising either. That means that the southern latitudes, like Maryland and North Carolina, the rate in which you achieved maximum biomass was much faster. So not only did we produce more biomass, we produced it faster. So this is profound, right? Because not only can we get away with lower seeding costs as we go further south, but we get more biomass. So the economics of a legume cover crop just continues to increase from both sides as you go north. And this is a fun fact, that 530 kilograms per hectare for every additional 100 degree days. All right, this is another figure I'm not going to spend a lot of time on. It's my last figure. But I'm going to kind of try to break apart some of these interactions. So we can think of Maryland and New York as kind of these representative of our northern or southern region. And Maryland and New York in a couple of the site years experimented with some even later planting dates. So we have a little bit more data. I didn't present that in that other figure. And so we were able to create this kind of, you know, response surface for you to look at these contour plots. And this is the three-way interaction, right? So you have your different termination timings here. And for each termination timing, you have this y-axis, which is your seeding rate. And then we have seating date. So this is just time. Planting date, right? So this is how late you planted. So this continuum here is just saying this is your early planting all the way to a late planting. So as you go from left to right in this axis, you're delaying that planting date. And here's your biomass potential. And one of the key things that pops out is that New York, you can see that at the early termination dates, there was kind of a stronger effect of the interaction between seeding rate and date. So as you delay when you plant, seeding rate had a bigger effect. But then as you get into these later terminations, there's not really a strong effect of seeding rates. You didn't pick up that much advantage in bumping your seeding rates up when you planted later. Where there was more of an interaction here, you can see in Maryland, where that if we did delay that timing of management in the fall, we did get a benefit from increasing those seeding rates. Thank you.
Steve, what kind of plant density did you end up with? You said you could get as low as 5 kilograms per hectare. Any idea what density that is?
I don't. We had that data for some of our sites. Not everybody was willing to collect emergence data. You know, these kinds of projects that we're doing like this, these are pet projects that are kind of like unfunded mandates. So we kind of, a group of us get together. We're all kind of these colleagues that have been interacting over the years. And so it's, you know, some folks can collect that level of resolution, some can't. And so we have some of that data, but I don't have it. Any other questions? Okay, so just you see how rapidly this goes. So if you're at this point here, so as you delay your seeding rate, if you start to go up here, you can see that it takes a really high seeding rate just to start to get that biomass to change. That's what I'm kind of getting at. Whereas it's a much steeper rate at the Maryland site. Okay.
Any other questions?
All right, thanks everybody.